Let's get ready to football! Hello and welcome in. You're listening to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast with your hosts, David, Thomas, and Colton.
Hey guys, welcome to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. This is your host, Thomas, and I am joined, as always, by two great men and two even better friends, Colton and David. How's it going, guys?
Going all right.
Colton's going first. Go. Okay, Colton's done. I'm doing great.
Doing great. That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. Well, listeners, we had so for this episode of the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast, we're going to continue our draft profiles by position group. This week, we're going to talk about our top five wide receivers, top five defensive backs. And this is just to give you a little bit of an idea heading into the 2021 NFL draft of when you hear these players, when you hear their names called this here in a few weeks, you'll know a little bit more about them, hopefully their strengths or weaknesses and why we think that they made our top five. But before we get to that, we had a big trade in the NFL. So with a certain player where there's been a lot of talk, a lot of question marks, even since pretty much he got drafted, about if he's going to be the franchise quarterback for a particular organization. And that gentleman is Sam Darnold. So this week he was traded to the Panthers. The Panthers traded or gave the Jets a sixth rounder in this year's draft, and then a second rounder in next year's draft, and then also a fourth rounder in the 2022 NFL draft. Pretty big. Pretty big trade. Has a lot of implications for the this upcoming draft and the players that could be chosen or that we think might be chosen. But anyways, David and Colton, what are your thoughts about this big move? What's your first instant reaction?
Not
bad
not
move by the Panthers.
About it. Okay, David, you go first.
Bad move by the Panthers. I don't want to say it's a terrible move by the Panthers. I think Teddy Bridgewater. I get the allure with trying to go and get younger and higher potential, but I think Teddy Bridgewater is a much better quarterback than Sam Darnold. And you compare this to the type of deal we've seen with, like, Josh Rosen, which I get Josh Rosen looked a lot worse than Sam Darnold that year, but Josh Rosen also was younger, so, like, he was still had some of that upside. You'd only seen 1 year. There was more unknown at that point. And you're looking at Sam Darnold, they have to pick up his fifth-year option and pay him, which they didn't need to do that with Rosen. And so you just kind of compare the two deals, and they gave up quite a bit more than what the Dolphins did to get Rosen. And I think they did that for a downgrade at the quarterback position. And I don't know. In my opinion, giving up assets to get a worse quarterback is never a good thing.
Colton, what were your thoughts of this breakdown or of this trade? Excuse me.
So, I really like Teddy Bridgewater. You know, he's kind of just a captain check down a little bit lately. At least that's what people have been saying. I don't really think he was given a fair chance at it this last year with the Carolina Panthers. We saw what he could do, you know, with the Saints when you have such a potent offense and stuff around him. You know, he was pretty risk-taking, and it paid off quite a bit. I still think he's a great passer, but he's at least a sure thing. You know what you're going to get with him. With Sam Darnold, the thing is nobody really knows. He can make some really great throws, and he's also guaranteed to make a few bad ones, you know. He also sees ghosts, you know. So I don't know how much stock you can put into a guy who's a ghost.
What do you mean by that?
Thomas, what? Do you not know this, Thomas?
I don't know that. He sees ghosts. I don't know what's going on. Does he really see ghosts?
All right, Davey, you tell him.
Thomas, this is when you can tell that Thomas...
No, Thomas, listen to me!
Doesn't... Okay, go ahead. doesn't have a huge active presence on social media.
I actually have zero.
Because not this season that just happened, but a year ago, the season before that, the Jets played the Patriots, and Sam Darnold was getting destroyed, and he was caught on video saying, "I'm seeing ghosts out there." And, you know, obviously the internet does what the internet does, and that's been talked about, replayed, and made fun of over the last year and a half.
It makes this trade even worse with the Panthers drafting a guy who sees ghosts. That's ridiculous.
So,
but
anyways, yeah. I mean, I'm excited for Sam Darnold. Kind of interesting to see what happens to Teddy Bridgewater. He's truly become a bridge quarterback. Anyways, we'll see what happens from here, but at least they're doing something.
Colton, has there been any movement with Teddy Bridgewater? Have you heard anything?
Rumors, and that's all they are at this point. Possible reunion with the Saints. Possibly the Broncos are looking at him. Possibly any team that needs a quarterback has been linked to him. So a lot of things are possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. I agree with what you guys are saying. This was kind of a weird move by the Panthers. To like what David said, to get rid of a lot of future assets for a questionable guy who has had question marks his whole career, even though it's been a short career in the NFL. I don't remember a 3-month span of time where there wasn't an ESPN segment about Sam Darnold in the future. So lot of questions. So definitely doesn't make sense. What do you guys think this has on the implication of the draft here in a few weeks?
Well, I saw a really funny kind of video conference call today where they were asking the Jets general manager, you know, if this means that they're going to draft a quarterback with the number 2 overall pick. And he said, "Well, it kind of looks like it." that great NFL, you know, reporting. They got the scoop out. I mean, a lot of us knew a couple months ago, or probably when they drafted Sam Darnold, that they'd eventually be getting a new quarterback.
Sam Darnold, if you're a listener of the show, don't take that personal, please. All right, go ahead, Cole.
But the Jets are inclined to pick a quarterback number 2 overall.
That's a good word.
You know.
Yeah. David, what are your thoughts?
I think to say something Colton didn't already say, and you guys didn't already say, I think this impacts like the second run on quarterbacks, maybe, or the second guys that are going to try and trade up, you know, the trade up guys, Denver, maybe, the Patriots, the Bears, possibly those three teams off the top of my head that I think now have a better chance of moving up where now that the Panthers aren't in the market for one. Seemingly, I mean, who knows, I guess. But now that the Panthers will likely not take a quarterback, it kind of helps out those teams that could maybe trade up or maybe push guys like whoever those third and fourth quarterbacks are down the board just a bit.
Mm. Yeah, I guess then my next question for you guys is it's pretty obvious, obviously, what the Jets are going to do. It begs the question, who are they going to pick? And we won't go too deep into this because I know as we get closer to draft, hopefully we'll have some draft content, unique draft content that we can get into on the show. But just a quick discussion. Who do you guys think the Jets are going to pick?
Zach Wilson.
Colton?
Justin Fields.
Yep.
We've been going back and forth on it. I just feel like there's so much smoke that's coming up in front of Justin Fields ahead of the draft. I feel like there's some some teams, some quarterback needy teams that think, you know, he's an easy target maybe to prey on, to try and, you know, disillusion people about him. I really want to be a Zach Wilson believer, and I hope he proves me wrong to the best of my abilities, but he's probably, besides Trey Lance, the quarterbacks to go in the first round that I'm least sure about. Trevor Lawrence, I think, is going to be a star. Justin Fields, I think, is going to be great. Mac Jones, I think, is going to be decent. I like the comparisons to Kirk Cousins. Zach Wilson and Trey Lance, I really have no idea about. And I feel like there's some teams out there that are trying to blow some smoke screen in front of Justin Fields, hoping that they can confuse the Jets into making another franchise-altering decision.
That makes sense. I love Justin Fields, so, I don't know how I feel about him going to the Jets, but I think he'd be a solid
I'd be so sad.
Solid decision. Why would you be sad?
I like Justin Fields a lot. And I don't think – I mean, I'd be sad. Really, and this is going to sound mean, it's nothing about the person. It's just the player. I really just hope the Jets take Mac Jones because I don't want them to mess anybody else up. I don't want them to mess up anybody that I think has a chance to be a star. And so if you're a Jets fan, I know that you're no longer listening to this, so this is pointless. But I am sorry for that. But that's my honest feelings on that.
Things that's just kind of underrated about the Jets is, like, you know, they're New York. Like, they have probably the highest scrutiny of any team in the NFL. A lot of NFL teams are really scrutinized, but there's just so many people – you know, that want the Jets to succeed and have loved the Jets and have grown up being a Jets fan for forever, you know. And so there's just so much more pressure, I feel like, being selected to a New York team, even though they technically don't play in New York. But there's just so, there's so much pressure to succeed everywhere. The front office, every single player, you know, it's just – it's the pressure is so high that I feel like they don't give second chances a lot, and they try and rush people in there so fast, and it never works out because they make one bad throw, one thing goes wrong, and then next thing you know, when it's something as bad as the butt fumble, like, that makes sense. But before that, Mark Sanchez was actually deemed a pretty decent quarterback, right?
He was, yeah. AFC Championship game, right? He got them to –
Back to back.
You know, and he was beloved, and then it's just they just turn on him so fast. It's like, what have you done for me lately? You know, so
yeah,
really tough to succeed in New York.
You're absolutely right, Colton. The market in New York for any sports team is really tough. I mean, you think of the Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets. You think of the Mets and the Yankees. It's do or die in that city. And then there's also a lot of sports marketing, sports media that is centralized in New York. So it even makes things a little bit more worse. It's also, you know, the hub of America. And so definitely a lot of pressure. So, yeah, definitely agree with you along those sentiments. But hopefully they can turn it around. They have a ton of draft picks, so... hopefully they can build a squad and they can redeem that, hopefully. But anyways, guys, before we go on to our draft profiles and our discussion with that, do you guys have anything else you want to talk about with the trade?
Nope. Let's draft. Well, we're not drafting, but let's talk about drafting.
Awesome. Well, guys, listeners, again, this is just like I said at the top of the program, at the beginning of the segment or the beginning of the show, that this is just to kind of discuss what three average Joe football fanatic fans, our opinions about, you know, this 2021 NFL draft and why we think that these players made it into our top five. So hopefully this resonates with you a little bit. But anyways, guys, let's talk about top five wide receivers. again, like we did last week with our tight ends. We'll start at number five. So, guys, who's your number five?
I'll go first. I know I've got a little bit of a – I don't know. I've got a great wide receiver here laid out. So, Elijah Moore, Ole Miss. He played for three different offensive coordinators at Ole Miss, and he produced each and every year. You know, he's a burner. He's got a lot of speed, but it's not just speed, you know, sub 4.4, 40. He's got great attack at the point of a catch. He can get up. He just produces. He's played outside. He's played in the slot. Plays all over the place. He's fast. He's shifty. I like him. You know, I think no matter what you do with him, I believe in Elijah Moore, and I believe he's going to produce. You know, he's not going to be necessarily a star, but there's only one star in each draft at the wide receiver position, Justin Jefferson last year, rookie of the year, Davey. But, you know, people a lot of times can get lost on numbers and a lot of different things when it comes to wide receivers, and I simply just think that Elijah Moore is going to produce no matter where you put him.
It's a solid pick. He was definitely my top seven. So, David, who do you got in your top five? I'm just saying I was considering it big time.
I get it.
This is just where
it's funny. Like, oh yeah, we're doing a top five. Oh yeah, love him. Definitely my top seven.
MVP last year. So there we go. Okay, and moving on.
We don't talk about that.
All right, so my fifth guy is Terrence Marshall Jr. He's the type of guys that I just probably a little bit of my bias. I love after those first tier of receivers, those type of players, the guys that are just, they're not crazy great at one thing, but they can do anything. Like, I mean, this is a bad example because he didn't work out. Like, but guys like Bryan Edwards last year, I liked a lot. I would say Justin Jefferson pre-draft was kind of one of those guys, but obviously he ended up being a much better NFL player, so I didn't want to make that comparison. But those type of guys that are just really, really good at everything that you can plug in, they can play outside, they can play in the slot, they have great, really good route running ability, he has really good hands, he gets really good separation, he has good speed, not great speed, good burst, not great burst, good size, not great size. Like, he's the prototypical guy that I just would love to take in the second round.
You wouldn't go there, Davey, but I'll go there. He reminds me exactly like Justin Jefferson coming out of last year, you know. Everyone talks about, obviously, and we'll talk about him a little bit later on here, Ja'Marr Chase at LSU, you know, and how amazing and stuff he is. Terrence Marshall Jr. had amazing stats for LSU, you know. And like I said, he's one of those guys that just produces. It's like last year, you know, everyone's talking about, you know, Henry Ruggs was the first player drafted. You know, and then there was big debate between CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy, you know, and there was these crazy wide receivers, just amazing college wide receivers. And yet out of all the bunch of them, undeniably, Justin Jefferson came out, you know, and outshined him. I'm not saying that that's what Terrence Marshall Jr. is going to do, but I think he's not getting as much respect as he deserves. This guy, you know, he's not, like you said, he's not the best at everything, but just another one of those guys that simply produces. And especially, you know, if you're going to have another great wide receiver lined up next to him, the sky's the limit for Terrace Marshall. And you said he doesn't have great size. This guy's 6'3", 200 pounds. I think that's pretty great size for a wide receiver.
Okay. Yeah, it's good size. I said good, not great size. He doesn't have, like, Calvin Johnson 6'5", is what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's more like
okay.
What I mean. It's just painting the picture that pretty much everything, he's above average, but he's not an outlier in any one thing, really. But yeah, I definitely agree though with what you said with him being overlooked. Like, he's I haven't heard, I don't think I see many things with people talking about him in the top five, and I don't want to hate on anybody. There's a lot of good receivers in this class, but I see a lot of people with Rondale Moore and guys like that. That's like, yes, they have their skills, but as a rounded receiver, like Rondell Moore, you have to put him in the right situation with the right scheme, with the right players for him to ever even start to have success. And then he still has to produce as a player. You don't have to do that with Marshall Jr. You just put him in any team in the NFL. He can fit their scheme. Any team in the NFL, he can have success on any of them. And so, I don't know. I think he's really good.
I have a, you know, my number five is probably a wild card for sure. His name's Kadarius Toney, a wide receiver at the University of Florida. This guy, I will just say his weaknesses. He could definitely be a Cordell Patterson of the 2021 NFL draft just because he has unbelievable ability to move and then a crazy ability to shift and to put his body in situations where just a crazy freak athlete type guy, but he's missing some of the things like you said, David, that you're looking at all well-rounded wide receiver. He's missing some of those things, but he's a wild card in my books, and I have him at number five, Kadarius Toney. But
Toney, oh, real quick, yeah. I'm sorry. Toney was sick.
No, he was just sick.
He was the guy that just missed the cut for me. I like him a lot too. I don't want to say he just missed the cut for me because Marshall Jr., I think there's not a gap, I don't want to say, but it wasn't that close for me. But if we would have done six, he would have been the guy that was there.
Mm. Yeah. But, guys, I think one to four, these next four guys we're going to talk about are going to get a little interesting because there's a lot of talent in there. Who's your guys' number four wide receiver?
I'll go first since my guy was already talked about. Terrace Marshall Jr. is my number four. I don't think, you know, we've said what we need to say about him. And then so, Davey, who you got?
I've got Rashad.
Explain yourself.
Out of Minnesota.
Then explain yourself.
Explain myself? I think he's similar. With Bateman, he's a little bit of a question of 2 years. I think he was a much better player last year than he was this year. But I really liked him. He has a lot for a lot of the same reasons as Terrace Marshall Jr. I mean, he's a well-rounded guy. I think he brings a little bit more after the catch ability than Terrace Marshall Jr. I think Terrace Marshall Jr. might bring a little bit more like quick twitch or explosiveness. What I really like about Bateman is he has that deep threat ability. He definitely can. Yeah, he has more than his physical skills. It's more of just one of those guys that just gets the job done. We've seen those type of guys that, you know, they can get – they just get open deep, whether they're the fastest guy on the field or not. He's not slow by any means, but it's not like he's a 4.3 burner. But yeah, I really like him a lot. He's got some good size. I don't know what else there is to explain. 6'1", 210. I think he's not 6'1", but he's not as small as some people have laid him out to be. And I do not think he will play this season at 210. And so I think that when those two, I think though that his get recorded size, I think he's actually a little bit smaller than, but he's not something that you can't deal with, in my opinion.
When I look at Rashad Bateman and I've watched him, the reason why I didn't put him in my top five and I'm not super high in him is I see a lot of similarities between him and another wide receiver, very, very similar. And that, you know, in wide receivers, we've seen in years, it's easy to think a guy's a lock and, you know, he turns out not to be. And this guy, Rashad Bateman, honestly reminds me of Rashad Perriman. Rashad Perriman, you know, similar status. He was kind of, you know, not the first wide receiver taken in his class, but he was first round wide receiver, thought of very highly, and just never kind of found his way and never produced in the NFL, had some drop problems. Not saying that Rashad Bateman will, but they just kind of remind me, you know, the same style of receiver. And I just kind of question his ability to separate at the next level. He's not going to be, you know, like you said, once he goes to the next level, he's not going to be able to just be more physically well-rounded than people and box him out and get the catches like he's doing now at Minnesota. You know, he definitely still can, but it's going to be a lot harder, and I think he's going to take a while to find just to find his groove at the next level. So that's why I kept him out of my top five.
The one thing I'd say to that is I see the comp, but Perriman, his struggle in the NFL has never been separating. It's always been hands. And Bateman, that's in my opinion, when I'm watching Bateman, I think that's Bateman's best – one of his best traits is he has rock-solid hands. He has – for a smaller guy, he really goes and get – like you said, goes and boxes people out, goes and makes some of those contested catches. Those will get harder in the NFL, especially for a small guy. But he has a lot of crazy, weird one-handed grabs. Not a small guy, a smaller guy, like a guy that's not 6'2", 6'3".
Right, he's definitely not small.
And so it will get tougher for him, but I think that would be the main difference I'd say to that. But my biggest worry about him is just the tell of two seasons. If he comes in and plays this year, I don't know. But I wonder – I know that he kind of opted out and opted in and some weird things. Like I said, he's listed at 210. I don't know if he played at 210, but to me this year he looked a little bit slower than he did last year. And so I wonder about how conditioned he was when he was trying to figure out if he was actually going to play football or not. I don't know, but I like him. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I do too. But he's not my number four. Number four, I have Jaylen Waddle, wide receiver out of Alabama. A lot of people.
All right, this is your explain yourself.
All right, this is my explain myself. Okay, so here's my rationale. Injuries, and his most productive season was his freshman year. And that's where I'll leave it.
yeah, that's where it deserved. I'm just kidding.
But, yeah, I, you know, again, this is number four out of a bunch of talented wide receivers, and there's not a lot of difference in my mind between one and four. And so I'm not saying Jaylen Waddle is bad, but I will say he's got insane speed, next level speed. Great hands, good route running. But, you know, the production wasn't there as far as numbers, obviously injured, but that's an also main factor that I weigh. So that's why I have him at four. And again, I Waddle's a listener, which we know all these guys are. He's a great wide receiver, and he could prove me wrong. And he's a heck, whole bunch of talent, but those two factors limit my ranking. So
I'll talk about him a little bit. He's my next guy up, my number three. Jaylen Waddle ran a 4.37 40 in high school, and he's haven't seen him run yet, but he's projected to run under 4.3, hopefully somewhere in the 4.2s or right around 4.3 now. I mean, the guy is a definite burner. The only reason I didn't put him up higher is I think I was really high on Henry Ruggs last year. Of course, Henry Ruggs had a little bit injury issues and whatnot. But, you know, there's a lot of teams that are chasing after the burners in the NFL. They want their own Tyreek Hill.
Mm.
And I feel like with these, you know, smaller burner type guys, you know, injury can be a definite concern, you know. And he's already had that in his career, his history. But that being said, extremely productive. You know, you got to have those deep threats that are just pure burners in order to let other guys like Devontae Smith, you know, just wreak havoc everywhere else, because you got to be able to, you know, drop safeties back, drop corners back, play quarters, you know, you got to do something to try and just – they stretch the field so much, and I think he's definitely going to do that in the NFL. He definitely has a role for him, and he might not have the best numbers, but he's going to make it, and he's going to be one of those 1,000 yards a season type guys.
Mm. David, who's your number three?
My number three is the other Alabama receiver, Devontae Smith.
Mm.
This is one of probably the scariest projection of the guys, because I could definitely see Devontae Smith just be a superstar. He's a real amazing route runner. He's a really good separator. He is great at the catch point. He does enough as in the rack ability. He has enough speed to get downfield and make plays. Honestly, the biggest thing with me is Devontae Smith is going to enter the game, and he is going to instantly become the lightest pound per inch player in the NFL when he is
there.
He is 6'1", 174 pounds. Comparing him to Jaylen Waddle, who's 5'10", a full 2 inches lighter than him, or 3 inches lighter than him. It's a good thing I'm a math teacher. 3 inches smaller than him. But Jaylen Waddle has 10 pounds on him, almost, according to the numbers. And so that's the scariest part to me, is he's just a flat-out outlier. And it's not that he can't be good at that height and weight, but kind of what Colton was just talking about with Bateman, he's a lot smaller than Bateman, so we're potentially questioning Bateman's ability to go make contested grabs at the next level. And now we got Devontae Smith, who is twice the separator that Bateman is, and so like in that, I'm sure that's what Colton's already thinking. Like he's not gonna have to make as many, but he's just such a. Calling him out to be a superstar is just calling him out for a complete outlier. And I just don't think that happens very much. I think the odds are very much against him. We're talking, like I said, the smallest pound per inch player in the NFL. Not one of the smallest. And I just can't – he has no elite traits on top of that that I'm going to place my money on for him to be a superstar. I do think he has probably the highest floor out of any of these guys in the class, because he's going to do something. But I just don't know that he's going to has as high as the ceiling as of what we've seen from a lot of these
you
guys.
You know, he is an outlier for sure. But to me, he's worth the risk. He's worth the gamble. I mean, we haven't seen a player like that. But, you know, he's playing in the SEC against great people. He went up against Patrick Kurtain every day at practice, you know. And he, like you said, he's great at separating. He's twice a separator. But I think he's going to be able to go up and make those contested catches. Now, he's going to take a punishing for doing it, you know, like everyone else does. I don't think he's going to want to do it all that often. But just the desire, the competitiveness, the underdog in him that just proves everyone wrong, you know, he's going to keep doing it. And I'm excited for him. I personally would roll the dice on Devontae Smith at the next level. I'm excited for it. I think he's going to be a fantastic player, a great wide receiver one.
Yeah. I'll get a little more. I'll have my take on Smith, but my number three, won't spend like hardly any time on him, but it's Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota. Like David said, and we've talked a little bit about, is I think he's an all round wide receiver. One thing I do like about him, this was probably talked about by you guys, but he played outside and in the slot, and also played in that Minnesota offense that's comparable to a pro style offense. And I just think he's a solid, I won't say foundational pick, but solid, safe pick at wide receiver, all rounded wide receiver. So I have Rashad Bateman, but let's go a little quicker here, guys. Who's your number two? Devontae Smith.
My number two is Ja'Marr Chase. It's kind of a 1A, 1B situation for me. If you're looking for the guy that is going to – the closest thing that might give you that 120 target reception type of guy, that's the Ja'Marr Chase. I think he's the guy that if you're looking at to carry an offense, I think he's the guy that's going to do it.
He's also my number two. Crazy production, insane production in 2019. Also, he's a young kid, and a lot of growth that could be in store for him. Who's your guys' number one wide receiver in this year's draft?
Number one, Ja'Marr Chase. This guy's just pure. He's got everything. He reminds me a little bit of like DK Metcalf mixed with Michael Thomas is how I would describe Ja'Marr Chase. I know he's not as big and everything, but the guy jumps out of the gym. He has all the elite measurables, just like DK Metcalf did. And we've seen, you know, how people underestimated him in the NFL. And he's got the production, like Davey said, just the ability to every year be that 120 catch type guy. Ja'Marr Chase, like, he played alongside Justin Jefferson last year and made Justin Jefferson, you know, look like, you know, a second tier wide receiver. Justin Jefferson's amazing. So I'm really excited to see how Ja'Marr Chase is going to be, especially once he gets paired up with Joe Burrow once more. But definitely got to be my wide receiver one.
Mm-hmm. All right, so my wide receiver one's a guy you guys already mentioned, Jalen Waddle. I don't love the Tyreek Hill comparison, mostly just because of, like you guys said, like Colton said, people are chasing that, and it just doesn't exist. Like, he's too fast, too freaky that he's not out there. And I don't think he does have some of that deep skill set, deep threat skill set, but where I think he's way different. Like, Ruggs to me was a poor man's, as a college prospect, poor man's Tyreek Hill. But Waddle to me is more like a smaller Deebo Samuel with speed. Like, he's just that elusive, crazy guy. The fear with him is that he's going to end up a Percy Harvin or Cordarrelle Patterson in my mind, but I think he has too much deep threat ability to have that. He's not going to be your 120 catch guy. He's going to, you know, Tyreek Hill's not the 120 catch guy. He's going to be more as the elite weapon that makes crazy big plays and opens up the offense and changes everything. He played snaps a running back last year at Alabama. He's just such a diverse player, so athletic. I think
that's solid. He's my number one. Yeah, my guy, you guys already talked about him. It's Devontae Smith. Again, like what Colton said, I'm all in on him. I could see him playing very, 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 very well at the next level. Now, what David said, there's a lot of truth to that and a lot of question marks because he is going to be the smallest player in the NFL. And how is that going to be? How is that going to hold? How is that going to be maintained in the NFL? But like Colton said, he was going up against SEC talent every single day. The SEC defensive backs probably are the best defensive backs in the country. You could put the Big Ten defensive backs in there, but I think, yeah, he just did a solid job at a really high level over Alabama, so I have him as my number one. Awesome, guys. Well, we also have our top five defensive backs. Again, this is going to be cornerbacks, safeties, free, strong, small cornerback, nickels, whatever you want to call them. Basically, just our top five overall defensive backs of this year's draft. Who do you guys have for number five?
My number five is a safety out of Oregon, Javon Holland. I see him in a lot of top 10 big boards. Don't see him in a lot of top five. I just think the guy's a ball hawk, and he's more physical than people give him credit for. He's a smart player, obviously, you know. And I'm not usually that high on Oregon people, but me and Davey have this rift when it comes to and I like to think that, you know, Boise State people should get more credit, and Oregon just gets a lot of credit because they run around in their tutus and whatever and make a lot of plays. But it's hard not to notice Javon Holland. Makes a lot of plays. You know, I think he's going to be a great safety at the next level. Super excited to watch him play. Javon Holland, number five.
Yeah, mine's also Javon Holland. He's one of those guys. I personally think if he would have played another year, probably would be a first-round pick this year. A lot of people had him projected. He was one of those guys that a lot of people thought, okay, he puts a couple things together, and all of a sudden we have an elite, absolute elite prospect. There was some early mock drafts that had him as a top 10 guy. But he opted out of last year, so we don't know how much he what he improved and what he put together. From an athletic standpoint, he's going to come in as one of the bigger athletic freaks in the NFL. He's super – what basically is what you want in today's starting safety. He has the athleticism and ability to play deep. He can play strong up in the box. He can play a little bit in the nickel. I mean, he can do anything for you. And so
nice.
He's my number five guy also.
And the reason why Davey didn't have a comeback for that 2-2 comment, by the way, is because Boise State never lost to Oregon. So just want to throw that out there. But...
All right, guys. My number five guy. I'm going to stick with the Pac-12. It's a young man named Elijah Molden. He's a cornerback out of the University of Washington. I'm going to stick with my what I've been doing with these top five rankings. Is my number five is going to be a wild card guy. Elijah Molden, he is a 5'10", 190-pound cornerback. He's not, you know, what a typical upcoming cornerback would look like that a lot of NFL teams are wanting or have been getting a lot of attention in the past, but he's a very instinctive player. He plays with a lot of heart, and he has a great ability to get himself near the ball. And so, again, my wild card guy is Elijah Molden, but my number four guy is going to be Javon Holland out of Oregon. Like you guys said, he's just a few different things that he could put together, and he would be a legit number one or two guy in this category. He's a beast. He's, he's a standout player. It's like Colton said, it's hard not to recognize him. And so, yeah, if he can put a few things together, he's going to be, I think, something special at the next level. But who's your guy's number four?
Number four, Colton, is going to be Trevon Moehrig out of TCU, another safety. Doesn't necessarily have a nose for the ball, but he's a really strong safety. I feel like he's a sure tackler. He makes his presence felt all over the field. Didn't necessarily have all the stats to show for it, but another opt-out guy as well, but just very excited for him. I think he's very physical. He big trash talker, loves to talk trash. And he backs it up. So excited for him.
David.
All right, so my number four guy, J.C. Horn out of South Carolina, corner. This is where I know some people are way high on J.C. Horn. I'm maybe a little low on him. I don't know where I'm at with J.C. Horn. I constantly have been fighting against what I think one of my biases is. Of a scout is I just kind of don't like his mold of player very much. I don't think it works out all the time. He's a physical man guy. He's does in coverage. That's what he is. He bullies guys. He beats them up. He's pretty good ball skills. He demonstrated he's really improved his ball skills over the last 2 years. He's 6'1", 205, so he has the leverage or the height, weight, leverage type of ability that you want out of a shutdown guy. But to me, he's the type of guy that just isn't all that, doesn't work out often, I guess, in the NFL. You know, he's mostly played on up press man. That's what he's been best at. He's okay in zone, and so that's where I've kind of fought back and forth, is he does have some of that ability. He probably doesn't have probably can't play in the slot. He's not the biggest burner in the world. You do see him get beat deep sometimes, and so he's the kind of guy that I worry about potentially in the NFL going up against the bigger, faster, stronger receivers. And in the NFL, we know that they're more touchy on some of the pass interference rules than what you got away with in college, and so he's the type of guy that I worry about being able to translate his game to the next level, I guess. Also, he is, for as physical as he is in coverage, he's not in the business of trying to tackle people, all that physically. He's not as bad as some of the guys we've seen over the last couple of years, like Henderson last year. But it has it's not always all that pretty.
So
I like him. I mean, like you said, he improved his ball skills. He's really physical. I mean, there's another corner now. I'm not saying he's going to be like this, but I feel like he models his game after and plays, and that's Jalen Ramsey. He's another big physical type guy. And
Jalen Ramsey ran a 4.4 40 and jumped 40 inches.
I didn't say he was good.
Just to be clear.
But, you know, for what he lacks in speed and vertical and everything, he definitely makes up for it in his physicality. You know, you're never going to just out-muscle him. He's going to at least always be there. Yeah, he's probably going to get some, you know, there's going to be a learning curve at the next level, but he's going to be able to hang with the NFL wide receivers that are getting bigger, faster, more physical. And so I feel like, you know, you can never go wrong with drafting the most physical corner in the class.
Good breakdown. Anyways, keep going. Good breakdown. Who's your guys' number three guy?
Did you Javon Holland. Yeah. Your number four? Oh, no, your four is Javon Holland. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, are we going to talk about three?
Are you up
sure. with three? I'll go.
Do you want me to start going first?
Asante Samuel.
Florida State.
You know, he's got that NFL bloodline, as people like to say. Well, because he literally does. His dad played in the NFL. He's also a great, great DB. But I just see a lot of fluidity in him, you know. Definitely not the most physical corner in the NFL, but he's very smart. He reads plays well. He understands leverage a lot of times, you know, so he's not going to be necessarily beating you up, but he's going to be in the best position to make a play on the ball. Very heads up player. Very athletic, you know, has the range to get a lot of those tip ball interceptions, and he's definitely a threat to return it to the house once he gets it because of just how kind of sneaky he is. I like him. He's always, you know, wanted to be a corner. Top recruit out of high school, went to Florida State, DB University, turned it on there, and he's gonna he has a lot of good things going for him.
Okay, that's a great breakdown. I will say the word of the day is fluidity. That's a great word. the Let's Get Ready Football fluidity. Podcast. Word of the day is fluidity. That was a great breakdown. David, who's your number three?
Real quick, I did want to mention, I don't know if you knew this, but you did mention the bloodlines. Your boy, J.C. Horn, also has some bloodlines. He's son of four-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Joe Horn. So I'm not, I kind of glanced over that. But yeah, so my number three is a guy that I like a lot. This is kind of like my guy of the corner group, I guess. Greg Newsom II. He doesn't go by junior. He goes by the second. Greg Newsom II. He's out of Northwestern. Big, tall, lanky corner. He's kind of the freak of the group. He's not the only freak of the group, but he's kind of one of the freaks of the group. 6'1", 190 pounds, has plenty of length, has plenty of speed, plenty of athleticism and turn ability, fluidity, as Colton would call it. Great man coverage ability. And he's the guy that I look at and would say that he's a guy that could end up being a Jalen Ramsey with his length, his size. He's physical too with his basically what he is what the Packers hoped Kevin King was. Kevin King can't turn around to save his life, but that's what they hoped Kevin King would be. He's physical, he's big, he's fast, he's fluid. You don't see guys get him on those double moves very often like you do some tall, lanky, fast guys like Kevin King. He does have some fluidity to his game. The biggest questions with him are just an injury. And his ball skills, he has just one interception in his career. To me, I don't really care about the ball skills. Ball skills to me are a plus. If you have if you have no idea, obviously that's a problem. But I would rather, if you have a potential shutdown corner that only logs an interception a season, I don't care. And so, I like him a lot.
My guy is somebody that's already been named, Trevon Moehrig, TCU. Like Colton was saying, he's just an instinctive player who plays at a high rate. He's a trash talker, and he is just always around the ball. He hustles. Good tackler, so I have Trevon Moehrig. And he's somebody that I feel like's been, he's had to cover these Big 12 offensive systems that put up like 600 yards a game, 600 passing yards a game. So I feel like that's a plus. I think his size, perhaps, is the only question when I was looking at some reviews and profiles and scouting stuff on him, but I like him overall. And, even before this year, he was getting a lot of hype, heading into the 2020 season. So Trevon Moehrig, number three. Who's your guys' number two guy?
Number two, we've already talked about him, J.C. Horn. I just feel like I really like man corners and people that I see being not necessarily shutdown corners, but just physical man coverage corners. As the NFL, gets faster and more physical, that's just the traits that I adhere to. And I feel like I don't think he's going to be a star right off the bat. But I think, once he finds his footing in the NFL and learns how to use his physicality without, grabbing and holding all the time, I think he's gonna really shine. I don't think he's gonna be a shutdown guy, but I think he's gonna be one of the better man corners in the league. And those are really hard to come by, and it really doesn't stay with you for long. The best corners, they can be man shutdown guys for 2-3 years, and then I feel like after that, you got to move them to a lot more zone because they can't hang with these wide receivers. And there.
Oh, there it is again.
Yeah, so I already discussed J.C. Horn, but I kind of have an interesting situation with my corner group. I don't want to give away my number one, but I've got, J.C. Horn, and then I've got my fast guy that I like a little bit better, and then I go with basically the better version of J.C. Horn, in my opinion, and that's Patrick Surtain II. Another second. He does not go by junior. Again, Patrick Surtain II. I did not know that was a thing.
Nice.
But it is, apparently. Again, some very similar problems I see with J.C. Horn is, I guess maybe call it the ceiling, maybe, is that, okay, these guys are going to go in and they're going to play man cover, but they can't be a true shutdown because it's not. I mean, you're not putting either of these two guys on the Tyreek Hills, the DK Metcalf, the Julio Jones. I mean, maybe Davante Adams. I mean, that's pushing it a little bit, but like the speed of most of the best receivers in the NFL, you can't put them on those guys. And so maybe it's the ceiling that just gets me a little bit with these guys. But Patrick Surtain is definitely a lot better than J.C. Horn. He's 3-year starter at Alabama. Sorry. I think he's a former 5-star recruit. I think he's more athletic than Horn. You did see him get beat similar ways. You did see him get beat deep downfield a couple times. And then the biggest thing that keeps me ahead of Horn, is I think Horn kind of guessed a lot in man coverage. He maybe bit sometimes and got double moves and stuff like that. Sometimes he got caught, I guess is the best way to say it. Surtain did not get, you didn't see that happen. He's a pure great man coverage guy. In zone, he needs a lot of work. He's really disciplined in zone, but he did let some leaks happen here and there. I think he has the skills to work that out though, and so he's also a much better run blocker than Horn. I think he's probably the best tackling corner in the class, not the best run stopping corner because he's not always super aggressive and willing, I guess. But I do think he's the best tackler of the class, and so yeah.
Surtain the second, solid.
The second,
not to disagree with you, and I know it seems like we have a lot of points up here, but spoiler alert, I left him out of my top five, and I did it for a reason. Davey, can you tell me who the first corner drafted last year was?
The first corner drafted last year.
Jeffrey Okuda. Obviously, you know, corners, they take a little bit of time to develop, so I don't want to say Jeffrey Okuda's bust. I definitely think he's still going to be great, but he had a tough time transitioning over there with the Detroit Lions. Even at some points asked, you know, to have himself out because he just wasn't able to keep up with the speed of the game. And he was dominant, extremely dominant at Ohio State. Corners can be like, you know, wide receivers for just as many, you know, as you have that are first round locks and amazing. There's also that many that have been first round busts. And I feel like just because the nature of how important the corner position is, you know, they get drafted really high. I feel like there's a lot more bust potential there. You know, D. Milner, Justin Gilbert, you know, there's definitely been quite a few high busts. And as far as, you know, like last year goes, there was, I feel like all the corners that were great last year amongst rookies or DBs in general were a lot of late round guys. Number one ranked defensive corner last year was Legarius Sneed for the Kansas City Chiefs. Played a valiant role in them turning their defense around into more of a strength and getting them back to the Super Bowl. Had my boy Cameron Dantzler, up and down roller coaster type of year, but turned out to be, you know, the best corner on the Vikings, who have a lot of first round picks in the secondary. I just, with Patrick Surtain.
There you go.
I see a similar scenario where he was just really dominant in college, very physical, you know. But I just call it a sixth sense, I guess, but I just am seeing him more as one of those guys that takes a few years to get acclimated and finds himself better suited in like a second corner role than a shutdown corner.
So, not to get too big off topic, but what similarities, I guess, do you see in him and Okuda?
Just kind of their size, their pedigree, where they were just, you know, at their level, the college level, they were just so ahead of the game that maybe they don't apply themselves as much, you know, at the next level. There's definitely a learning curve because of the technique and the speed of the game versus in college, you know, they're just extremely better athletes than, you know, 90% of the people that they're facing.
Okay, I see. So kind of just the pedigree thing. Yeah, I'm not trying to argue. I just thought it was interesting because I think, to me, Okuda, his numbers were a freak athlete. I know he didn't have the best 40 time, but when you look at his broad jump, his vertical, and then he still ran the 4.48. And then I thought he was a much better zone corner. And so, but yeah, that makes sense. I see that. I do agree with you about your overall point, though. And I don't disagree with Surtain. Like, I don't love Surtain. I think he's a high floor guy. And so I don't know that I agree. I agree a bit with the bust potential. But I do agree with your overall point that, like, corners – kind of dart throws sometimes, and these guys take a long time. It's a hard position. I know a lot of people think it's the hardest position in the NFL. The
rules and the way everything's geared towards offense definitely got to be the hardest position to put, you know, besides quarterback. Got to be just the toughest. I feel like all the rules are kind of geared against you at corner.
Yeah. Solid. My number two guy is, I think he's going to be your guy's number one. I'm not spoiler alert or anything, but I have
right now we just might be more fun.
You can go ahead. I mean, we all have
Caleb Farley.
Out
of Virginia Tech, big corner. You know, I know he opted out of the 2020 season, but a lot of guys did. But I just think there's too much talent there to bypass. I will say this. I've been doing a little bit of research just while you guys were kind of talking about Patrick. I didn't know that he had back surgery recently. And so that kind of – and I didn't know a lot about his, like, ACL injury early on in his career. So I should have done my research. But obviously, as you guys know and the listeners know, I don't do a lot of research on this show. But Caleb Farley, big guy. I think he can match up well with a lot of the wide receivers at the next level. Obviously, like you guys said, I think you guys made some great points, like about how corners the next level, how difficult that position is. That position is difficult at the high school level. The amount of yards you guys have to sprint. Just saying that as a linebacker, it's just a lot of running. But so Caleb Farley, Virginia Tech. My number two guy. My number one guy is Patrick Surtain II, not junior. Great research, David. I'm glad you looked this up because we don't want to mispronounce their name or offend them. Solid research, but I have him. I think Colton made some very solid points, a lot of things that I agree with his points about Patrick, but I think coming out of the Nick Saban defense or just the Nick Saban coaching system, the fact that he was a three-time starter at Alabama and the fact that he was going against all these wide receivers at Ole Miss and LSU, and I think it says something. Very physical guy. Got a lot of heart, a lot of effort, and so, yeah. He's my number one guy. Who's your guy's number one?
Like the
anticipation, David. Who is it?
I'm sorry. I'll be a better host in the future.
As Thomas already said, it's Caleb Farley. Here's my disclaimer. I don't know how you guys treat injuries. Obviously, he has a lengthy injury history. Obviously, some of the other guys, Greg Newsome, a guy I like, has had some injuries. Jalen Waddle has had some injuries. I kind of personally just don't even look at him, to be honest. Not that it doesn't matter, but just because there's so much information we don't have. And so, if it's something just crazy extreme,
like Tua,
maybe I would look at it a little bit more. But in general, I just don't like Landon Dickerson, I think is his name, the center from Alabama. I don't know if you saw, he tore his ACL and he was doing backflips the other day or something like that. Or cartwheels, not backflips. He tore his ACL like 5 months ago. Like, we don't know. I don't know what those guys' medicals look like. And we've seen guys that we didn't know had medical issues tumble down the board like crazy. What's the Auburn
offensive Brown.
Tackle from a couple
Brown
years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Austin.
Nope, that's Corbett. A defensive tackle.
Oh, he's
Thomas Rasmussen.
My research is right on. But,
that guy.
But we saw.
Oh, that guy.
Oh, Prince Tega Wanogo. We saw him going into the draft. We thought he was a second round pick, first round pick, possibly. Mm. All of a sudden, he tumbles to like the fourth round, fifth round. And it was a bit injury related. We saw DK Metcalf. We knew a little bit about it, but he looked like he was going to be a first-round pick, and then we found out there was some medical questions. And then we've seen guys like Jalen Smith that we thought might fall to the sixth round that ended up going in the second round. And so I just don't know about the medicals, and so I kind of just ignore it. But Caleb Farley on the football field is amazing. Super athlete. Like I said, the weird thing is I went with a, you know, kind of similar corner in J.C. Horn. Then I went Newsom. Then I upgraded Patrick Surtain, and now I'm upgrading Greg Newsom. Because Caleb Farley is bigger, he's more athletic, he's more physical. The best part of Farley's game is the insane upside. This guy's been playing corner for like a year.
Yeah,
he played corner for like a year in.
He was in a quarterback.
College, is what I think it was. He played quarterback in high school, played receiver, and when he went to college, like he's this good. He's raw in zone, but he's this good now, and it's only going up. It's only going up.
He converted, you know, to defense. Has only been playing it for a couple years, has extremely upside. He's very physical, and yet one of the most underrated things that nobody's talking about, I think, is this guy's speed. Obviously, I don't think he's going to participate in the combine or anything like that. Had some injury issues, so he had to, you know, kind of skip pro day and everything like that. His football coach released a video of him running and doing all these workouts, and they clocked him, if you watch the video and slow it down, he ran a 4.28 in his 40. Like, the guy is insanely fast. Wow. You can't teach speed, you know? You just got to have it, and he's got it. So he makes up for a lot of things, you know, that he's still got to learn technically-wise and scheme-wise and everything. He makes up for all that with just insane fast speed, which, you know, once he learns those other things, he's already great. I call him the constrictor. He fights and for positioning with his wide receivers that he's up against, and he makes that window for the catch just so small, and the longer the route goes, he just makes it smaller and smaller. If you're going to beat him, you're going to have to beat him quick, you know, and just leave him in the dust. But he definitely decreases as the route goes on the chance of a completed catch. I'm excited for him to learn. My number one guy, he's going to be a great, great corner, a willing tackler. Not the best tackler, but a willing tackler. Freaky fast and physical. A lot of room to grow. Love Caleb Farley.
Yeah. And what I love about him run stopping wise is he plays his fits. He's aggressive. He goes downhill. So, like, I think you could make an argument that overall he's a more impactful run stopper than Surtain is, because he's aggressive. He plays downhill and he goes and gets it. Now, when he comes to tackling, he's going to whiff about 75% of the time, to be honest. But Surtain, you know, is a little bit less willing to go downhill and just play the run in general. So he makes up for that just by being willing. But just to go off what you were saying with the speed, in 2019, he was clocked in a game going 24 miles per hour with pads. Tyreek Hill, his fastest clock speed ever was 22.8 miles per hour. Like, it's insane. And like I said, this is another guy. This isn't Kevin Keith, who can run great in a straight line, but it takes him about 2 minutes to turn around. This guy is fluid. This guy is quick. He's explosive. And he's an all-around athlete. I mean, he's amazing. And it only goes up. If he's one of the guys that would be so sad to see if injuries really do derail his career.
Or go to a division.
Because I think he's going to be so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Or go to a division rival. I would love – I am praying that he ends up as a Green Bay Packer. Somehow these medical – oh no, back spasms. We can't have that.
Man can dream.
Ends up a Green Bay Packer. It's not gonna happen,
guys. Well, but a man can great dream. Content that you guys brought today. I think that concludes our show. Unless you guys have anything else you want to say about these wide receivers and defensive backs. One sec, Colton. One sec.
You don't know.
Well, we gotta give Thomas social media info, and then I can set Colton up, and then we can end it.
All right. Okay, let's do it.
Just end it. Never mind. Follow us on Instagram at Ready to Football Pod. We have a mock draft that will be coming up this week. So you're going to want to see it. It might be the best mock draft that's ever existed. I'm not going to lie. I don't know who made it of the three of us, but that person's a genius because there will be every pick.
Yeah, and I will say I apologize because I just realized I pretty much did set Colton up. And then I slapped him in the face. And so I'm sorry, Colton. Personal apology on the show. Sorry, listeners. That was bad. Bad hosting by me, I guess. But yeah, like Dave said, go check us out on social media. And then also go give us a 5-star review. Did we get any last week, David? Because I don't think we did because it's okay.
Someone may not have checked.
I checked on our Apple that reviews. I didn't see any. But like David said, if you go give us a 5-star and then drop a comment, we'll give you a shout out on the show. But I think that we are done. So Colton.
Just end it.
Thanks for joining us here on the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Ready to Football Pod or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/ReadyToFootballPod. And make sure you hit subscribe so you can come back next week and hear another great edition of the podcast. Have a great week.